Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
At the Valley this morning, lads are working on shape.
By the way, there's a collector's item here.
Chris Brown, world-class goal.
In that goal, the Jimmy Seed stand, one of the best goals of all time, someone said.
I would say your career, not of all time. Come on.
I'm going to send Matty the video.
Mike Bassett this week.
Mike Bassett.
Dave.
You went in so confident as well with a clap. We've got... A lot of crazy gang stuff, isn't there? Yeah. Like the proper crazy.
I've heard so many stories of even lads that have been managed by him.
An absolute football legend, yeah. I would say. Yeah. Everybody knows Harry Bassett, don't they?
Oh, we've got a winner as well from our new subscriber, right. Shut Competition. So we'll have that in the outro.
Right, let's get him in. Dave, Harry, Mike Bassett.
Dave, thanks for joining us.
Pleasure.
Or do we go with Harry? Dave, what was it when? Do you remember John?
Yeah, of course I do. Yeah, John, yeah, in the youth team and that. Yeah, I remember John. Big centre forward. He was, one of the boys who was going to be the golden generation. He didn't quite get there, but he was not far off.
Injury. If you remember, I was going to go to FF Yarrow, I think it were, in Finland, were it?
That's right, yeah.
Would you not go?
That's how much he fancied us. He wanted to send me to fucking Finland for 6 months.
Major players went to Sweden and Finland and Norway, you know, I sent. You know, it's great experience out there, and it, you know, makes you different. You're in the first team every week.
Toughen up.
You're better than that, being in the reserves and that. I mean, at Wimbledon, Dennis Wise, Glenn Hodges, Corky, you know, they all went out there and played for it. And Vinny went out, before he even signed for us. Yeah. You know, when he came, I signed him from Wealdstone, I signed him, I said, no, fuck off to Sweden till August and come back. And he thought he was going to get in the team, didn't he, as soon as he come back. Shut up.
Would you just have contacts over there? You could ring up and
I know Roy Hodgson well. Roy used to, and all of them did well. They all did well for me, you know, over there. None of them messed about, and you know they've still got relationships there now.
No, it's been, it's been to good go, for John?
No, I was going, but I needed an operation on my groins.
Oh, right.
As if I'd refused to go. No, 17, 18, fuck that.
No, you'd have a great time.
Yeah, I wish I'd have gone. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Got injured, so I couldn't. Yeah.
Where does Harry come from?
It's my old man's name, really. He was Harold. When I was at school, there was a lot of Daves in the senior sort of school. And one of my mates, Tony, he just started Harrying me, you and me, and I became Harry, and it just sort of stuck with me. I mean, it was good for, you know, Wimbledon loved it because, you know, it was the time Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry and that. So when we've beaten Liverpool up or beaten the Spurs up particularly, you know, it was Clint Eastwood and me there with the guns firing and that. So, you know, the press called it me. The funny part was when I was at Southampton with Harry Redknapp, there was a couple of times somebody said Harry and I spoke up. He said, fuck off, it's me.
Know your place. Were you at Chelsea when you were...
I was released at Chelsea, yeah. Went to Augsburg and played in a youth tournament and everything else, and that was one of my first interesting things. We played this Italian side, and I pulled out of a tackle, and Ronnie Harris said, "You ever pull out of a fucking tackle again, I'll kill you." And so I thought, I ain't pulling out of any more tackles.
So you just go on to play part-time?
I went to Hayes. I went and played there, and I was in the team at 17 and doing well, scoring goals. And so it was great. I was like first team football, playing against men. And I learned a lot there, you know, with Hayes. And then during that time, you know, Watford came for me when I was 20. And I went there on trial. But when he offered me terms, but I was earning more than they were offering me because I was working for an insurance company. I had a car. I had a cheap mortgage. And I thought, well, if it was a big club, Watford were in the third division south, yeah, sort of thing at that time. I just thought, I'm not sure it's for me, you and me. And I also, I sussed a little bit. I thought, I'm not really going to be bought by Leeds United or Manchester United or Chelsea, you know. I knew my limitations to an extent. Yeah. I was decent and that, but I made a mistake. I left the Watford and joined Hendon, who were the top, you know, non-league side at that time. And I missed out playing at Wembley because what happened is in the we beat Wickham. I didn't play, I had the flu, but Jimmy Quayle, who was a really good player who played for him, and he broke his leg. So I was playing on the Tuesday, and I thought on the Sunday I'd go out and have a little game with my mates and, you know, keep fitness up, and I broke my bloody leg, didn't I, on the Sunday.
No.
So both of us missed the final at Wembley. So I missed playing at Wembley.
For a game of Sunday League?
Yeah, Sunday League with a mate. thick, really. You know, you're just thinking, hold on, I shouldn't be doing this. You weren't meant to, because I didn't play every week for him, but he just said, you want to play? You know, I was just getting over the flu, and I thought, yeah, they'd run out, you know. And of course, it worked against me.
What kind of player were you? Did you get stuck in?
Yeah, I was up. I was more up front in the early days. In those, you know, for Hayes, when I scored goals, I scored about 27 one year. You know, and I was quite quick in that. And you know, I wasn't the best finisher. I took a couple, you know, to finish. But yeah, I up there. But then when I broke my leg and I didn't play for 18 months, and I went back to Hayes. And got in the team, and I was then playing midfield. When after the broken leg, I ended up going back to midfield. I was playing either, you know, an attacking midfield player or sort of holding. You know, I just sat in there holding and kicked shit out of anybody.
When you went to Wimbledon, am I right in saying you won the league 3 years on the trot?
Yeah, that's right. Well, what happened is Alan Batsford, after we won the Amateur Cup, I stayed another year, but we lost our two strikers to Hendon, who paid more money, and we got knocked out in the quarterfinals. Then Alan Batsford went to Wimbledon. He was asked to go to Wimbledon, and he asked me and four other players to go to Wimbledon with him and that to join up with the others. And, yeah, it worked out. You know, we with a small squad, you know, we won the championship 3 years on the trot. The first year, we knocked Burnley out of the FA Cup in the third round. We won 1-0 up there, Leighton James and that mob. And then we had the draw at Elland Road, where I give a penalty away. And I was delirious. Fucking Eddie Gray went past me. I was convinced he hadn't. I had a row with a fucking referee, didn't I? I said to him, yeah, you need spec savers. Well, they weren't spec savers then. It was, you know, tested his eyesight. He said, you got a telly? I said, yeah. He said, I suggest you watch it tonight. He said, because I think you'll find it was a penalty. Dead ringer. Eddie came in. I just kicked him in the shin, didn't I? Dickie saved the penalty. So he was the hero. It made him. And then we lost 1-0 in the replay, 49,000 at Crystal Palace. Johnny Giles shot. It came off my knee. Dickie shouted, keeper. I've tried to move out quick and it's just caught me on the knee and deflected past him. So it was good. They were a fucking good side. They were.
Must have been frustrating back then winning the league because you had to get voted in.
Yeah, you couldn't get promoted in. So Ron Knowles, who became the chairman, I knew he was running a team called Southall, and Wimbledon was struggling, and I said to Ron, why don't you come and have a word with Bernie? You know, step up from where you want. He was ambitious. So he set up and he joined us just halfway through the second season, you know, when we won it. And then what he did is he went round the country, you know, getting votes from other clubs.
So you had to get votes from other clubs to get promoted?
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Even if you won the league?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You won the conference?
Yeah, 3 years on the trot we won it, you know.
Going round campaigning?
Pardon?
Going round campaigning?
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Yeah, so he campaigned and, yeah, we got in. Southport got kicked out, I think it was at the time.
Ruthless, isn't it? Is it just like schmoozing?
Yeah, well, it didn't happen very often. I mean, if we hadn't won the league 3 years on the trot, it wouldn't be like it was now, you know.
Put yourself in good stead.
And I can't believe some of the crowds that you're playing in front of for like non-league football.
Yeah, well, Walton and Hersham, you know, we used to get 3, 3.5. Wimbledon was low, but when we had the good games, there was 6,000 or 7,000 or 8,000 there. I mean, as I say, with the cup run, I mean, that was brilliant with the Leeds. That made it, you know.
Yeah.
And as I say, we got into the league, but we were getting all old then at that time.
I was going to say, how old were you when you finally made your league debut?
I think it was about 33 or something like that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and we were part-time as well, but we had a good side. We had some good players, you know. We knew what we were doing. You know, when we played Leeds, we had some, you know, me and Selwyn Rice and Ian Cook in midfield. We didn't have no shit from anybody, you know. I mean, you know, Rice, Billy Bremner did Ricey lovely just as he shot, you know. He's got you, Selwyn.
Did you know what
it was funny there, because there was a row, wasn't there? And everybody thought, you know, it was there. And Johnny Giles come out up and he was having a mouth. And I said, oh, fuck off, what do you know? And I poked him straight in the eye. He went fucking Gary, didn't he? I wish I could have said I meant to do it, but I didn't. It was one of those. And everybody thought I'd done him, you know, a bit of credence, you know. But, you know, now when you see the tackling and compared with what was going on in those days.
You played a massive integral part in the birth of Wimbledon, well, within the rise. You got the owners in.
Yeah.
You're playing in the promotion year, first year in the league, and then...
Well, I played all the 3 years we won the championship. And then what happened is, you know, well, after that Swansea game, Alan Batsford at Christmas resigned. And to be fair, Ron offered me the job then. Yep. And, but I said, look, I want to, you know, I've got my coaching badges and that. I said, I'd like to, but I said, I'm not experienced enough. You know, I'm part-time, I'm not full-time. And he said, well, I'm going to appoint Dario as manager, he said. I said, all right. He said, well, I'll have a word with him and see if he's prepared to work with you as assistant manager. How's that? So I said, yeah, if he's prepared. But no, he was good. And it was a great 3 years. Dario kept us up that year. He got promoted the following year. Then he got relegated. And then halfway through the next season, I became manager. That season in 1981, when I took over, Ron Nodes then went to Crystal Palace. He bought Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
He bought Crystal Palace and left Sam a man at Wimbledon. And I got promoted to manager and Dario went to the Palace.
Well, I don't know whose idea it was that City and Chelsea had been feisty game.
With VAR and all, like, you're surely thinking there's a chance of a red, isn't there?
We said there'd be a red card between City and Chelsea and, well...
There wasn't.
There should have been, but there wasn't.
So, congratulations.
Which tackle you meaning?
Congratulations, everyone who took up the Fair Play bet. Huge thanks once again to Fair Play for sponsoring the series. You been enjoying it?
Yeah, very much so.
Yes, agreed.
It was tight last week, wasn't it, but...
We had our fivers on. Who'd lose the most weight this week?
Well, we didn't really. I didn't have my fiver on. There was no
you threw yourself out early. But
you kept that quite,
no, you weren't because you went on holiday.
I know.
Well, if you were wrongly confident.
So we had a weigh-in earlier. And Christopher, congratulations. You are £10 richer.
But only a pound lower.
And John, yeah. You are also £10 richer.
Just round my ass.
So this week we're going to play to your strengths. We've got a live show Friday.
Yeah, we have.
Who can drink? And I'm shit at this one. Who can drink a pint?
We're going to film this.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
The quickest.
Pint challenge. It'll be a slow race, but a good race.
Never
a
minimal
race. Yeah. So yeah, well, five
if
is
you've in. Not already got involved with the Fair Play, you just bet with your mates. No bookies. Bit of fun with your mates. Like we've just done. I bet you're a fiver I can down a pint quicker than you. But then...
if you're playing golf, I think it's perfect. Game of FIFA.
Quick, yeah.
Just, it's just all about having a bit of competitive
and fair
fun.
Play don't take no commission, do they?
No commission whatsoever.
You put a fiver in a piece and the tenner's coming out one way or other. Mm.
And we've got our cosh bet. It's international week, isn't it? What are we betting, Chris?
All the British nations remain unbeaten. So we've got Northern Ireland. I don't know who they're playing. Scotland, Wales, England.
So we're saying
unbeaten.
None of them are going to lose.
None of them are going to lose.
Ooh, so a fiver on none of the British teams to lose. Teams,
you keep changing your voice in this intro, this advert, Chris.
And good technique.
I had a little fiver. We might hear many different voices I could get.
But no, please do gamble responsibly. It's just a little bit of fun, and you've got to be over 18 to play.
Yeah. And so if you're not already involved, just download the Fair Play app, use the code COSH, and then you'll get our bets sent to you. And then you can have a bet with your mates as well.
So when did you decide that it was maybe time to put your own stamp on in terms of a direct football?
Get it on the pitch.
The Wimbledon way.
The year we got after we got relegated, I went to the World Cup and, you know, in... I forget where it was. Anyway, I'd seen somebody playing with a sweeper and I liked it. And we were top of the league, but I wasn't convinced, you know, with me, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, I was brought up on direct football to be, Alan Batsford was direct, and I thought, no, you know, I've got to do it. And we lost a couple of games. Anyway, we had a fortnight break and I decided we were going to change. We were going to go 4-2-4. Or 4-2-3-4 or whatever it is, you know, to get in. We was going there.
We were decent.
We were going basically man for man.
Yeah.
If you were the right winger, you had to win your battle against your left back. If the right back can't cope, fuck him, we'll get someone else. I mean, that team that got us out of... We won the 4th Division Championship. Well, we were there. We ended up, and I said we were going to change. Wally and Odds didn't want to play the way I wanted to play. They were anti it.
I was going to say, were there any pushback?
Yeah, you know, so... but they, you know, to be fair to them, they got on with it.
Shape and stuff on the training pitches, how you wanted to play?
Yeah. Oh, I did shape every day, nearly. Yeah. Yeah,
just drill it into the players.
Pardon?
Just drill it into the players exactly.
They were drilled. I mean, there was no messing. I mean, you know, I mean, off the field we could have a laugh, but when we was working, they didn't fuck about then if they knew I had the ump. You know, I mean, like Frenchie had come in, he's got the bastard head on, don't upset him.
Who's Frenchie?
Yeah, and called Frenchie the physio.
Derek French, physio.
Physio, and that Frenchie. And then Corky used to be when he knew. Come on, lads, we've been running round the windmill because I sometimes used to send them off on a 3-mile run if they got me yum. Go on, fuck off, see you.
Fuck off to the windmill.
And of course, Corky and Wally and people who hated running and Odges, they used to have the raving ump, didn't they? The ones who were good runners just went off, didn't they?
On Derek French. So you had Frenchie physio from the start, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we got him. He was recommended. He was at Barnet, actually. We had a fella called Owen Harris who was the physio there. But Owen had his own business and he found that he, you know, was getting it with the travelling and everything else because he was like part-time and that he'd been that. And, you know, a pal of mine knew about Frenchie, who was a good mate of Vinnie Jones's, funny enough. And... we took him there, and he's a character, Frenchie. He's fast and quick, and you know he's you know he's
his quote is he speaking of you, he did say I was the best signing he ever made, but he also called me an insignificant little turd.
That about sums him up. Yeah, that about sums him up. I mean, he was brilliant, Frenchie, like the bit of thing. You know, he had a machine, you know, like it was an ultrasound, and he used to talk to the players and convince them, yeah, you'll be all right with this ultrasound. And half the time, it wasn't even on. He was just rubbing it there. Oh, I feel much better. Yeah, that's all right. Very, very astute and that, and very sharp, you know, and that. And he could banter as well.
Yeah,
you know.
He did have a good crack.
And that, so, yeah, so, you know, basically, yeah, we did a lot of shape. I worked on, you know, the players and set plays, you know, we were brilliant at set plays.
I mean, how did you even find some of these players? I didn't even realise Nigel Winterburn was at Wimbledon.
Yeah, I mean, he was a free transfer from Birmingham. I met Nigel, you know, on the A40 near London. I got out, shook hands. It was the wettest fucking hand I've ever felt in my life. I thought, this is one of my crunching left backs, is it? Fucking roll on.
You meant... Wet as in soft, not soft, just washed his hands.
Yeah, weak, yeah, you know. It wasn't firm, you know, he was always a firm handshake. Nigel's was... Anyway, he came in and trained with us. Anyway, what happened is Gagey was playing left back. If I moved Gagey to left back, he was right-footed. He could do it, you with me? Anyway, we were playing Chelsea that night. Anyway, Gagey's got a little... you know, problem with his leg, and Frenchie said, "Oh, yeah, I'll take him off, Harry." And you know, I thought, "Yeah, we've got game Saturday, take him off." So I thought, I'll throw Nigel on, let's see what he does. Well, you know, nothing for a few minutes, and all of a sudden, he's picked the ball up and he's fucking slung it about 50 yards. Did I see what I saw? And that, and yeah, then all of a sudden, Phil Driver. Who was it playing for them? We'd sold him to Chelsea and that and everything else. Quick, all of a sudden he's gone. I thought, this is interesting. Nigel's glided up, took the ball for him, no problems at all. Then all of a sudden he's gone into a crunching tackle with Kerry Dixon, you know, and got up and poked him. And I thought, fucking hell, what's happened here? You know, he was there. Anyway, he played that Saturday. He was player of the season for the four seasons he was there. Absolutely brilliant, yeah. Left back, yeah.
But if you had your way, you'd have sold him after the handshake.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Sent him back.
Yeah, amazing, yeah. Good lad as well, Nigel. Yeah, I mean, that side, you know, with we come to later in the, you know, in the top division, you know, was unbelievable. But as I say, that was Nigel joined us in the, we'd won the fourth division championship. He came the following season when we got promoted with with Oxford in the third division at that time. And there were some good sides around then. We'd matured, you know. I mean, a lot of our players had played well over 100 games, you know, even though they were still only 21 or 22. And we had a great spirit as well. And that off the park and that, they used to go out. I mean, they used to meet up midweek and go and have a, you know, down the pub and do the business and, you know, go pulling birds or whatever they were doing.
Were you happy with that? Because obviously you made this...
Yeah, I made
it a crazy gang. Yeah, and yeah, everything yeah, about yeah, yeah. it.
We made it. You know, I wanted them to enjoy themselves because our facilities and all that want the best in the world.
All about togetherness. You're happy for them to go out and cause a bit of trouble.
You're past the team. You know, I mean, you're telling them to be careful. You know, one or two things got a bit close on one or two occasions, but, you know, because we had a few nutters. You know, Wally Downs was a nutter, and you know, Mark Morris when he was on his going, Odge could be.
Did it go too far sometimes?
Yeah, I heard it did a few times. We had to,
you just turn a blind eye.
Yeah. You have to, sort of thing. You know, you've got to. But I was brought up in non-league, see, and we had a good laugh. I wanted a laugh after that. You know, I enjoyed it. You know, have a beer, we go out and, you know, play hard, you know, live good, you know, good. And the players were... But were good. They were good together. They built a spirit. They were all for one. You know, they were in there, and they were characters. I was lucky. You know, that there was plenty who had, you know, knew what they wanted. Besant was good. You know, Downs was a terrific. You know, he's a good coach, and you know, knew what he was doing. Bright as a button. Wally Hodges knew what he was doing. A good player. Corky knew. You know, they were all quite bright. You know, and Winterburn was quiet, but he knew what he was doing. Again, before we got up, I mean, I don't know if you. First of all, we got out of the third division, okay, and my contract was up and Sam was being a bit awkward with me, and Ron Nodes came and offered me the Palace job, and Ron convinced me, because I'd known Ron, I used to go to school with his brother, and Ron ran a youth side that I used to play in at that time. I mean, I wasn't buddy-buddy with Ron, but I knew him, and he'd been at Wimbledon, and, you know, I'd got him to Wimbledon via Southall. He went to Palace, and he convinced me Palace was better equipped, bigger crowds, a bit more money. Not that he was offering me much more money. I think he did thought I just didn't deserve it. But I accepted it, and then I went away, and I went to a dinner, the football writers, and a few people said, "Harry, what are you doing?" Ewan knows you fall out in no time at all, you know, which I wouldn't have done because I knew how to handle run to some extent. And then I woke up and I thought, no, I don't want to. I think I've got a good side here.
Had you signed the contract?
Yeah, well, no, I hadn't signed the contract, you know.
But had it been, like, released in the press or anything like that?
Yeah, it was there on a Saturday morning and I was going there. But the door was still open. Sam never forgive me for going.
So did you ring Sam up and say, oh, do you know what?
Stanley Reed, who was the chairman, sort of was there. And, you know, I just said, no, I want to, you know. Yeah. And I just rang Stanley in the morning. I said, look, I've got second doubts. I don't really want to go to Palace. You know, do you still want me back at Wimbledon? He said, of course we do. You know, we ain't got a manager. And it was the best thing I did because our team was good. And the Palace team weren't very good at all. They had a lot of older players, Jim Cannon, they were all okay, but they weren't going to buy into what I wanted to do.
Did the relationship with Summerman change from that point?
No, not really. He was still okay, but he never forgave me, you know. Right. I mean, I still speak to him now. He's in Lebanon, you know. And, I mean, you know, he never paid me fuck all, really. I made him a multi-millionaire with that team.
Yeah.
How was the conversation with Ron Nord when you had to... When you said you didn't fancy
to be fair, they all the press, everybody thought Ron had done something to upset me, and he hadn't. I just said, Ron, no, I've made a mistake. You've convinced me because it was you. I thought, yeah, it's gone. I thought, I just don't feel right. I don't feel it's right for me. You know, I said it'd be wrong for me to come, and I don't want to come. And he was all right. And I tried to say it to the press, but they all thought that Ron had done something. Yeah. But it turned out right because Stevie Cotwell went there, and that worked out well for him.
Just going back to that crazy gang mentality, was that by design from you?
Did you sign
lunatics?
No, not really. I knew I wanted people with characters. I mean, you know, when I was in that Walton team and then when I come to Wimbledon, you know, with Dickie Guy and all that, you know, I was messing about and we had, you know, the other people like Roger Connell and Kieran Summers and Billy Edwards who were good lads, you know, and we created a spirit, you know, and Wimbledon boys bought into it as well. You know, I mean, Dickie used to come in with a, you know, tie on, a jacket, a suit and everything else. And we're all turning up in fucking tracksuits and jeans. What are you doing, Dick, you silly cunt? You're playing football. You know? Oh, sorry, I shouldn't have used that word.
It's all right. Fine.
Dick, what the fuck are you doing? You know, he was in the toilet one day and I slung carbolic over the top of the toilet.
Three what?
Carbolic, it's a cleaner, you know, like and Dick was going to use, so he's got hold of me and said, we're going to have a fight, come on, let's go in the boot room and have it out. I said, oh, shut up, you prick. I said, but then he turned into a nutter, Dick. After that, he became... every team I play for, you know, the spirit is there, you know, you've got to have characters, you can't, you know, when you do that, it's a hard way to manage. They're going to speak up, they're going to do things, they're not going to just go along and agree with you, but I'd rather that than players play for me who walk out the door, he's a wanker, or this, that and the other. It was very hard because, you know, I used to be, when we was out, or we went at end of season tour and all that, there was a... I was Harry. They just called me Harry and, you know, they'd take the piss or whatever it was and, you know, various things. I mean, you know, on one particular occasion we was in Spain and we was there and we're talking at the edge of the pool and everything else and we're doing, and these two birds and everything else, they were there. All of a sudden I've gone with her chair. She's gone head first straight in the pool. And all of a sudden I thought, shit, I better go in and get her out. So I've dived in there and I'm getting her and I can feel something tugging at me. And Wally's trying to get me swimming trunks off while I'm getting her out there under the pool. He succeeded. So she's come out. Anyway, there's a bit of a kerfuffle in that. In the end, I just got out and naked. And then all of a sudden, the manager's come. I want you slung out of the hotel. Who's the manager? So I've gone to Jeff, my assistant, him. And so he's gone to Jeff. He's got to go. And Wally had to go as well.
He's got to go.
Who's the manager?
So do you know, like, if that's how you were, like, you can't really reprimand your players if they take it a little bit
No, you've got to get characters, you know. I mean, there's a time, you know, and you have to go along with it. If you live on the edge a bit, you know, with it, there's going to be times where, you know, people are going to criticise you or be what it was. But you had that feeling for one another, you know. It was all together that we wanted to operate.
Would you ever sort of say to the winning of the lads, like, just go and start a fight?
What do you mean?
In the dressing room or in the tunnel?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, we used to, when I first took over and all that, most of the way home, we used to have a bundle, didn't we? All fighting one another on the way home from Darlington or Shrewsbury or wherever it was in the coach. Ray Lewington come joined us, and it was all beating Ray up because Dario was a favourite. Dario was ex-Chelsea and he was telling us how great Ray was and all this. And so Ray become the golden boy. Yeah, we ain't having that. Come on, lads. And it was part and parcel. It did. I mean, you know, when I was at Sheffield United, Bradshaw and Ned Kelly had a bundle, you know, Ed a joint. And Bradshaw, now then, what you on, your Irish twat or something like that, you know. And so it was all part of the bonding and everything else.
I remember growing up, like, new players that signed for Wimbledon always got it, didn't they? Was that just a part of the culture?
Yeah.
The new signing came in,
if you couldn't, we had a goalkeeper from Lincoln, he couldn't deal with it. Ian Holloway couldn't deal with it. Ian thought we bullied, you know, and Ian's a great little lad and he was there. And so you either sank or swam, you know, it was important. I mean, I suppose people would call it bullying now, whatever it was, but it was all part and parcel, you know. No, they didn't, you know, you didn't get hurt. They weren't there, but it bred a thing where, you know, if you made a mistake, they were onto you. You with me? I didn't sometimes have to bother. Mm. You know, Corky would be coming in and having a row with you because you ain't done your job at a set play or all that. You know, they were all into it there, and you took it. Vinny in the first period, you know, was making mistakes. He was getting well coated, you know, well and truly. But he knew it was part of the upbringing to bring you together and that, and makes them for what they've done. You know, they've all had, you know, decent careers. They've been, you know, they're prepared to stand up and be counted. There's some embellished stories. Don't worry about Wimbledon. I've heard them, one or two on podcasts and that, and I'm thinking, yeah, hold on, you got that wrong. You know what I mean, you know.
I can't imagine Vinnie Jones having a wet handshake.
No, Vinnie, no.
How did you find him?
We released him. He came to us at 15 and I said, no, he wasn't good enough, you know, with the youth and that. And then he went back and he ended up playing for Alan Batsford, that manager I told you had. He played for Wealdstone. And Alan come back. He said that he's ready. He's ready to come. He said he's enthusiastic. He's fit as a fiddle. He's strong. He's a good character down on it. And you know, we signed him.
Watching some of his tackles, do you ever think, oh fucking hell, Vinny, that's a bit too.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, he was dozy, you know, at times, wasn't he? I mean, what about when he, you know, when he was playing for Sheffield United, he's sent off in 4 seconds, just went through Peter Reid. As soon as it went back, Vinny flattened him, you know. And, you know, so I ain't too happy about that being dopey, do you know what I mean, as well? You know, that wasn't part of the character. That was being a complete idiot, you know, and that. But it was a side that stood up for itself and that, you know, and believed in it. They believed in the end the way they were playing. It wasn't necessarily the way they wanted to play. Gagey, Wally, Odge would want to play a bit different. Winterburn was quite happy with the way he was. The rest of the boys were there. But, I mean, yeah, I look at it, that team, you know, we eventually got up to the top league, and that first season we got to the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. We knocked Everton out, who were the cup holders. And then we beat Portsmouth 4-0. Alan Ball got fucked off there. They beat us in a league game, didn't they? And he was giving it plenty. So said to him after the game, that's the final and the nth lesson, Bally. You've just been done fucking 5-0 in the cup.
Was it like an us and them? Was it like an us and them mentality where you loved the fact that people were like, oh, fuck me, it's Wimbledon?
Yeah, well, we knew in the end, we could tell teams didn't fancy it. They knew we were fit. We were fucking fit, you know.
Could you beat some teams in the tunnel?
Yeah.
Characters.
Yeah, and Wimbledon's Plough Lane was a good playing surface. It wasn't the most salubrious, but you'd think it's like Millwall. Nobody likes going to Millwall, you know, and that. And we just knew that the thing was we were strong, you know, we were strong, yeah. We were big, we you know, and they knew we was good at corners and things like that, and, you know, they didn't take any prisoners, you know, and we went for the ball. We made good runs as well. We never stood there. We, you know, you at least had a run of more than 10 yards because you got to lose the player. Where he, you know, if he's grabbing hold of your shirt or something and you're running away from him, yeah, then it's a problem. Yeah. You with me? Yeah, it was the players bought into it and they believed in it. And in the end, it was like clockwork. I didn't have to say anything because they more or less in, they policed their own dressing room.
Yeah.
Because if you'd messed up, you were told by, not, you didn't need to be told by me. But I mean, that team that finished sixth in the league as well. I mean, you know, right at the end, we won 1-0 at Old Trafford. Wisey scored. I mean, well, you know, I signed Wisey the year before. He was 18, you know. He made his debut against Sheffield United. And
had he been released from Southampton?
Yeah, well, he wanted a release. He couldn't agree terms with Laurie McMenemy. And he Wisey, if he gets the ump with you, he got
it. That's it.
And then we managed to... He was trained at Crystal Palace, and I found out, and our scout went over and said, come, Harry, you know, and Wally knew his dad, so he came. Good player, Wisey. And that, and Wisey scored the winner with 10 men. We beat Manchester United at Old Trafford 1-0. And then we went to Liverpool and beat them 2-1. And Everton won at Arsenal, and they won the league on that one. Again, with players who were good. I mean, we had a 23-man squad, and 13 in that squad come through the youth team. Gagey, the youth team. Brian Gale, the youth team. Andy Thorne, the youth team. Mark Morris, the youth team. Wally Downs, the youth team. Glyn Hodges, the youth team. Fishington, the youth team. Yeah, we had 13.
That's oh, there was some,
there
really,
was some, yeah, because there were some boys like Simon Tracy and Gannon who were through the youth team, but they didn't play that year. You with me? So we had, and Andy Sayer came through the youth team. So we had 13 players out of 23 who had cost the club no money, and that.
Best and of got four, and that, four promotions with them players.
Yeah, well, there were seven of those players. Like played in all the leagues, you know, the fourth division, third division, second division, and the top. You know, seven players played in all those leagues to get to the top and have games.
That's mad, because now if one player makes that journey, it's like, and you've got seven.
There's a kid at Luton, isn't there, who's done it? Yeah, I think through the way.
Yeah. You do. Yeah, it's unusual, but for us, you know, when you talk about that team, that Sam sold that team that I got there for over 10 million quid. Back then,
you did make him some money, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, Besant went for 900 grand to Newcastle. Thorny went for 900. Wisey went for 1.65 to Chelsea. Fash went to Aston Villa for 1.5. Gagey went to Aston Villa for 300. Hodge went to Newcastle for 300. They should have been more. Vinny went to Leeds for 600 grand.
And with that, are you in charge of wages, contracts?
I was, yeah,
sales,
I did the whole lot. Yeah.
Top to bottom.
Yeah, not a lot. Yeah, I did the lot. I did all the wages, transfers. I used to do the deals with the transfers and everything else. Totally what a manager is. A manager now doesn't do those things. He can't. The times change. But I did everything, you know.
When it came to leaving, was that a reason for leaving?
Because well, it was because I couldn't agree with Sam. Sam, you know, all the fans are singing "There's Only One Dave Bassett." Sam had felt he'd saved the club, and he should have been
appreciated. Weren't getting enough credit.
No credit, and he was being awkward with the contract, you know, and that. So is.
Yeah. One summer man, anyone?
But it was, you know, again, we used to have a bit of friction. We were played West Ham in the FA Cup, and we'd had a draw, and there was a fiasco on the tickets, and I sort of said more or less so-and-so, and we were trained at Bishan Abbey, and Alan Gillette, who was my assistant, come out and said, Sam's on the phone, he wants you. I said, tell him to fuck off, I'm training. And said, Alan's going to fuck off. No, Sam wants to speak to you. He said, David, get in your car and come up to the club. I want to speak to you. I said, I'm training you. I want to speak to you. You're the manager and this, that and the other. And I thought, oh, fucking hell, I've upset him. What's he going to do? Anyway, he's got a load of paper like you've got there. And he's gone, David, that's out of order. You're stepping up your things. He said, if you don't behave, he said, this is what your contract's worth to me. And tore it out and threw it in the box just to let me know that he was in charge.
What was he saying that you were doing?
Because I'd criticised the club for about the tickets for the replay or whatever it was, and
Just saying, get back in your
place. Yeah, he wanted to be, yeah. You know, he felt he wasn't getting the credit. And so, in the end, but of course, you know, I went to Watford, which was a mistake, but yeah. I didn't know what to go. It seemed the ideal move, but it wasn't the ideal move, really, because Graham Taylor was about to leave. He was a god and love there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was like Alec Ferguson retiring. And when I got the John Barnes was sold to Liverpool, you know, Mark Falco was going to Glasgow Rangers. Kevin Richardson had sorted Arsenal out. Dave Barnsley had sorted QPR out. And I didn't know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't know. If I'd have known, I should have had somebody mark my card, you know. But it seemed ideal where I lived not far from the club. Yeah. It seemed the next step move. I was being interviewed by Manchester City. They were still humming and ahhing, but they gave it to Mel Machin, you know. I mean, in fairness, I don't think I would have got that, you know, at times.
Was it difficult watching? Because obviously you left in 87 and then... They won the FA, Wimbledon won the FA Cup in 88.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching your team.
Yeah, well, that's right. It was great. I wanted them to win it. I was at Wembley when they won it and they did brilliant. You know, Vinny and Bess and him come round. They were all showing me the cup and, you know, to be fair to Bobby Gould, he said it was Harry's team, but more or less. And that, yeah, I mean, I was, that night, the next day, I was with Sheffield United at Barnsley playing Bristol City to stay in the league. You know, it was when the third from bottom played the other and we lost 1-0, you know, so it was relegation. But it was the best thing that happened because the Sheffield United team were all old then. There was people who had been on loan from, you know, Ken McNaught, Phil Thompson, you know, they were all old. So I could, and their contracts were up, so I could get rid of them and start all over again and build a new side.
Can you remember much about Vinny's half-time speech? The Pheasant and the Phoenix?
Oh, yeah, a bit of an exaggeration, that, but it was, it was one of the funny things. We were playing at Everton and, you know, Everton were very direct, although they didn't say that. They were direct for about 20, 25 minutes and then when it got down, they scored, got in front, they started to play a bit different than that. And anyway, we're 1-0 at half-time. We're just before half time, and we concede a goal. And Vinny was meant to be marking Van der Nau, I think it was. He was marking, and all of a sudden he don't go with him or whatever it is. And Sharpie flicked it on, and it was in. You know, we're 2-0, and I'm fucking twat because he's going stupid prick. You know, I thought I'll give it. I won't go for him straight away. You know, one or two of the others were giving him some, and everything else. But it was funny. We came in and. All of a sudden, you know, I thought, we've got to start somewhere. And I said, well, our attitude ain't right. We ain't competing. We're there. And there was a sweet paper on the floor. And I've swung my left foot and me it was a slip on. It's gone flying out. And like, if you can imagine, it's going towards the showers and the toilet and everything else. And Besant's sitting next to the door. And I'm thinking, it goes in. I thought, fucking hell, he can't even stop me shoe going through the door. And he's my goalkeeper. anyway, then we come back and that. Then it was sort of like, Vinny, what happened with Van der Nau? He said, well, Harry, I told him Sharpie was fucking his missus. Oh, well, that's very good, Vinny. Did he then? Pat said, oh, thanks very much, Vinny, for that. I'm going to do him at this corner. I said, he didn't. He said, yeah, he fucking mugged me, didn't he?
Was it one of them with Vinnie Jones where you could just give him some at half time, give him some at full time, and he'd just take it? Did he ever come back to you and you had a tear up or have
not
a bundle?
Not really, no, I never. No, he took it. As long as you were right, you know, and didn't say anything stupid, you know.
Could you push his buttons? You know, like.
Yeah.
It's half time, how to get him going.
Vinnie was always hyper and ready to go, so you were calming him down, you know, and.
I suppose the other way, you had to calm him down
I can't imagine it. If you get him going too much, you're thinking this could be neck eye. as opposed to knee eye, this neck tackle could be neck eye.
You know, I mean, it was when we played Arsenal Christmas and we lost 3-0 and Steve Williams was there playing for the Arsenal, you know, the Tony Adams, all that mob, you know, great back four and Kenny Sampson, all that. And Williams was giving it, you know, the planes ain't going over Highbury today because Wimbledon are playing here, you know, sort of comments like that. Put the ball in a bucket of ice and give it a go. Anyway, we've lost 3-0. The referee's given him a diabolical penalty, but they score a great free kick. And anyway, as we're coming off, Dave Williams is there. I said, you little prick. I said, you've got to come to Plough Lane because you're fucking going to get it. You know what I mean? And everything else. And that, you know, yeah, Vinny's gone, yeah, you're right, the Welsh prick. I said, he ain't fucking Welsh. I said, you tick. Anyway, what's happened is we get him, you know, got his Williams in his. Anyway. They went over his head anyway. Anyway, when we've come, we played and that, you know, and I've sort of given it, this Williams had plenty to say. We don't, you know, let him know we're about and this, that and the other and everything else. Yeah, there. Anyway, Vinny gets sent off, doesn't he? And we're down to 10 men and Merce was making his debut and scored and everything else. And and then we come and he said, oh, Harry, I'm sorry, I've let you down. My mum and dad are upstairs, I've let them down. You know, I've let the Turk team down. And I said, fucking right you have, and everything else. I said, well, what was you doing? He said, I said, what are you doing smacking Rixie? He said, was that Rixie? I thought it was Williams. Poor old Rixie took that.
So has he just laid him out? Has he just laid him out?
Yeah, he's given him a clump, hasn't he? You know,
fucking mistaken the wrong identity. Man.
The Welsh prick.
Is it right?
It's good because Kenny Sampson tells me a great story. He said, you know, they're defending and he said, and all of a sudden I'm marking Vinny. I'm thinking, fucking hell, this is a bit of a mismatch and that. So he said, Vinny's got his hand around me, back of me neck saying, fucking hell, you little dwarf, you're marking me.
Did you know that whenever you left Wimbledon, whichever club you went to, that's the kind of changing room you wanted? Players and characters like
Yeah. But, you know, I built a new team at Sheffield United, you know, built based on that. Because the good thing, as I said, the players that were there when I went, they were a poor team. You know, I only had to keep a few of them. And none of them really survived the trip, you know, all the way back. Because we came up straight away from the third division and then the second division and back in, you know. Chris Wilder made it. He stayed through that there. There weren't many. It was a new team, Brian Dean and Agana. I went back to Watford for Agana and Dean had been recommended to me by Kinnear and that he was at Doncaster at the time. And then we had Dane Whitehouse and Mitch Wall were Sheffield boys in the youth team coming through. You know, I brought Beasley in, Brian Gale I brought in.
He took a lot of that Wimbledon, the names
yeah,
you're
yeah, John Gannon, John yeah. Gannon and Simon Tracy, the keeper. You know, we got them from Wimbledon. They were cheap, you know, so.
Try and rebuild that mentality.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we did. We had it. Yeah, it was different, but yeah. Very similar. Oh, good bunch of lads they were.
How was Dino with that mentality? Because he's completely opposite of a Millwall type, Wimbledon type player.
Yeah, he is, yeah. But he bought into it, you know, in a different way. He was his own way. To be fair, Fash, nobody messed with Fash at Wimbledon. He said, look, I don't mind being part of the gang, but just leave me alone. And he didn't get involved in any of the pranks, you with me? You know.
I just watch from afar. Yeah. I just watch all the chaos happening.
Yeah, you know, he didn't, but he was part of it. If something went kicked off on a Saturday or anything, he was all right, you with me? But
Speaking of the pranks, who stole Eric Dooley's wooden leg?
Oh, well, no, that was after we beat Wednesday. I don't know. Well, yeah, they may have stole, but the one that I'm thinking about, we beat Wednesday 2-0 home. We were down the bottom, you know, and we beat them 2-0. And Derek loved it because it was Wednesday and he'd fallen out with Wednesday and everything. And I remember Frenchie and John Greaves, our physio, and that we're all carrying him. And he says, if anybody says I'm fucking legless, they're going to get it. he was a character as well, Derek. You know, great fella, and that, you know.
What happened when you got sent off against Udinese?
Udinese, yeah. But that was that Anglo-Italian Cup, and that. Yeah. Well, I think Blakey got sent off first, and then Charlie Artfield got sent, and then Hodge, and then what's happened is that the referees come over. I give him the wanker sign. Then I was sent off, wasn't I? And then the funniest part was that they got a free kick, weren't they? Well, he's gone, we're fucked now. The wall's already in the dressing room.
thing is, you can't even escape that. That's universal, isn't it? Yeah. No matter what country you're in, the wankers are straight red.
So I put Wally in charge of that, and you know, it was a sign. We didn't really need it as a such, you know, to go to those games, and he used it with the younger ones and various things, you know.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
What's it got there?
Much crack on Billy Whitehurst.
Oh, Bill, yeah, I got on well with Bill, you know. I mean, you had to be careful how you treated Billy, you know. But he was, you know, the thing was, Bill, you knew he sort of, you know, lived the close with the drink and all that. But he never, when he came into training, you never knew that he was either pissed or not, you know. And he got on with it and he'd fall out. He used to train, and if you didn't train properly, he used to, you know, give him some, you know.
Train as you play.
Yeah, yeah. And that, you know, and he was there. He was serious. I mean, one morning we had Paul Wood on the right wing. You know, Paul was quite skillful. But he won these like Beagle. He wanted too many touches and everything else. And we're doing a crossing practice and a bit of phase tacking play. Anyway, Woody's gone to go to check to play it in. Bill's made a run and Woody's turned and gone out the other way. Then he's come back and then done another one. Bill's gone in again and Woody's not there. And then it's finished. He said to Woody, "You do that fucking again, you're going to get a right-hander. Now, I don't mind going once and I don't mind going two, but don't take the piss," he said, "because I'm just ready to go to get on that cross." Anyway, Woody did it a couple of times, first of all. Then all of a sudden he did it, didn't he? And Bill's gone, "That's it." And Woody's fucking legged it down the track. Woody's gone and Bill's chasing him up the university. Bill's chasing him. I said to Woody, "What do you think?" I was shitting myself. No, it was good, Bill. And that, you know.
Ever bring his greyhounds in?
Pump.
Ever bring his greyhound in to treat?
Yeah. I think that French used to treat it with the ultrasound.
Weren't even switched on.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. See, I mean, you go there. I mean, you look back and you could sort of say that's the. But that was the way you built things, and you got the lads going, and they, you know, it's a way to, it's a difficult way to manage, but you've got to be out of control. They've got to know when you're playing and when you're not. You with me? And so, you know, when you're off, you accept that there's, you know, they're characters. You know, Bill was a character. You know, I forgot when one of his says, "Oh," I said, "Where are you going now?" But he said, the goalkeeper at Hull, I forget what his name was. They were great mates. He said, "Oh, me and my mate, we're going to go for a Ploughman's." I didn't know the Ploughman's was including 10 pints. But
we speak a lot about managers knowing how to deal with certain players. So would you treat Vinnie Jones differently? You know, you're saying you could have it out with him. Would you treat him differently to Billy Whitehurst? When you said you need to know how to manage him?
Yeah. I mean, Bill was okay. You know, you could dig him out, you know, if you were right. I mean, you know, if you were talking bollocks, he wouldn't, you know, have it. But, you know, you treated him, yeah. I mean, all treated him, you know, as if they were criticised, if they weren't doing what they were needed to do, really. You know, I think that was the trust that they... I think they knew I was honest with them, really, you know. I didn't try and bullshit them, really, at all. You know, and I think, you know, if I told them, you know, because the one that the good laughs was Chris Kamara. He'd had a couple of shit games, and I didn't pick him, and he said, Harry, well, you know, why have not, you know, picked me? I said, "Well, you've been shit, haven't you?" and everything else. He said, "Oh, yeah, this, that." And I said, "Look, don't worry. You know, when we play Wimbledon, you'll be back in." So he's gone home happy thinking we're playing Wimbledon the next week. It was about 4 weeks time.
I can't remember who told us a story about Billy. In the, was it Reza Ruddock was giving Brian Dean the run around?
Yeah, no, we said when we played Spurs and it was rearranged. They were playing Arsenal in the FA Cup and they wanted to get, I think, if somebody out of suspension or anything like that at all, you know, and everything else. And I said to Bill, I said, your mate Razor, just to, you know, because Deansy was carrying a little bit of an injury. I said, have a word with Ruddock and sort of tell him that if Deansy gets injured, then you're coming on to put him in Sheffield Infirmary.
And it worked.
And yeah, so he's gone up to him and I told Ruddock, Ruddock's gone, you think I was going to argue with Bill?
Did you ever see him switch, properly switch?
Bill?
In the tunnel or anything?
I can't think where he completely lost. I don't remember him losing it, but, you know, you knew that they he had respect, you know, and done it, you know. You know, I remember when I was in the fourth division when we were battled Hull for the promotion and everything else. Colin Atwood, there was Marwood there, Billy Whitehurst, McLaren, and everything else. And all I said was to our team, don't wake Billy up. Don't upset him. Don't do anything stupid, you know, with him. Just challenge, get on with it. Don't get involved with him and everything else. Anyway, we're drawing, you know, 1-0, I think it was. And then Stevie Galliers couldn't resist it because Galliers was fast and he was a bit like Kante, you know, like the Chelsea boy, very quick. And he's gone in and he's done Bill, isn't he? Now, Bill's come in, but Beasley and Mark Morris came off after the game. You little twat. Beasley got a cut eye. Mark got a cut eye.
And take it out on them.
Yeah, all of a sudden, and I gave him, you stupid. I said, you woke the barbarian up, didn't you?
Can you remember when you got up to Scotland late in your Lexus?
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. What? Yeah, refresh me on that one.
Beasley said, all the team were up in Scotland, and you've turned up on your new Lexus and then they've pinned you to the car, apparently.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, that was quite regular sort of thing. and that, I didn't tell him I got a new car. because Bees, I remember him coming in with a contract he was talking about and he said, and I'm offering him 1,500, you know, this, that and the other. And he goes, I can't live on 1,500. I said... So I shouted out to my secretary, Eileen. Eileen, get Tony Pritchard at the Star on. Beasley can't live on 1,500 a week. All the other, everybody in Sheffield's earning more than 1,500 quid a week. They'd be feeling really sorry. No, Harry, no, no, no.
He said, ask him about when you let Charlie Atfield look after your fish.
Oh Christ! Yeah, home. Yeah, we had a sort of a pond where my missus had koi carp and all this, that, and the other. And we went on holiday, and they needed to be things. So somehow I don't know how it ended up that Charlie said he'd look after them and come round and feed them. Yeah, well, that was a big mistake, wasn't it? You know, nearly killed all the carp, didn't it? And my missus was going to kill me. The other one was Charlie as well, again, in the street. My missus is driving down Ecclesall Road and she's pulled up at the lights and this, that and the other, and all of a sudden Charlie's waving. He's opened the car and snatched her handbag out of the car. Your players, it's ridiculous what the things they do. They're not human, normal people.
What, he's just done that for a laugh, like?
Yeah, laugh, yeah, yeah, yeah. But she wasn't expecting it. She frightened the life out of her. He said, Chris, you've got to keep your car locked, door locked. There's unscrupulous people about.
I talked to ask about David Barnes.
Yeah, great lad. He was a nutcase as well, you know. Yeah. Well, they were again in that Sheffield
great
team.
Great nutcase.
Yeah. He was a good one. He was brilliant. He was, you know, good lad, Dave, and everything else, you know. And he was a character and that, you know. He had I never saw it, but he had this trick where he set light to a toilet roll and let it, you know, walked around and it crept up to his arse. And, I never saw that one.
Trick.
I heard it on
not a skill, is it? Really?
Yeah, it was Bradshaw, you know, again, you know, good Dane, you know, Mitch Ward, you know, Gailey could be frightening as well. Gailey, you know, I nearly got killed by him at Tottenham. We were winning and we lost we drew 2-2 and Gailey made a mistake or something. He came in and all of a sudden I've had a bit of a go at him and he's spilt tea all over himself and he's gone for me and I fucked off into the toilet pretty sharpish because I thought I'm going to get a right-hander here. wasn't it?
Talking about some of them characters and how you built the Cheney room, just going on to Forrest, because I mean, we've had a few of the lads on, haven't we, from that team, especially like Tank and
and
Andy Johnson.
Andy Johnson, yeah.
I mean, them two together.
Oh, yeah, lunatics they were, yeah. I mean, we've got the celebration dinner for the Vings, but Andy Johnson's on our table. He started eating his wine glass. My missus going, is he all right? Yeah.
I think that's a more impressive trick than the toilet roll. So can you remember when you first signed Tank Alan Rogers and you were going on the plane?
Oh, yeah. Well, he shouted out, we're going down, didn't he? Oh, man, fucking hell. I wasn't on the plane. I wasn't. That was, there were two split ups. Sorry. I think that was Frenchie was on that one with the plane. And now, and the old Liverpool scouts were, oh, we're going down. I've seen this spot before. and the old scouts, whatever. That was a terrible scouts. But, he was.
But did you think, oh, I've got another one, lads. I've got another lunatic.
Yeah, he should have done better. He should have done a little bit better. He did all right for me, Tank, you know. But, he was a character. He was lively, he stood up for himself and, he was all for it. And Andy was there. We needed a bit of, the Forest side were all seemed well-behaved to me, all good pros, Stoney and I think Pierre looked down on them too. He couldn't quite work out what these two were doing playing football,
Did you sign Pierre?
Yeah. Well, no, I signed him for Forest, but I was director of football. Piercy was the manager then.
Is that when you first come in? Because were you?
Yeah, we
Pierce was manager, but then you took over.
I was director of football with the knowledge that I was going to take over in the summer because they sort of knew that Piercy would want to go and move on and play somewhere. So yeah, we signed Van Hooydonk from Celtic and Alan Rogers. I found him. Stevie Cottle marked me card about him. Alan.
Don't give you a warning.
Said he was a good lad.
Right.
Yeah. He was a good player. Good player. Yeah.
I mean, Van Hooydonk was a good player, but.
He was a good player in a good team. He won the good player in a poor team because he didn't like running about and he was self-centred, selfish. He'd have got beaten up in the Wimbledon team, but he wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes, with his attitude. And the way he wanted. If you want working with him, he wasn't interested in helping in anything else. He was brilliant at free kicks and penalties and that, but a very difficult, as I say, he was a luxury in a good team. He did other things, but when you're under the cosh all the time, like we were at Forest in the Premier League, and both times when he signed that year for Piercy, he only scored one goal in about 16 games.
Yeah.
And then, he could score, but you've got to get the ball to him.
Was he happy? Was he a different person during that Championship year?
He was always moaning everything all the time, always criticising, the balls are too hard, the pitches are too hard, the pitch is too soft, et cetera. He was...
I just wondered if during that Championship year when he's scoring for fun, whether he's happy then.
Yeah.
It's a bit, bit easier.
But a lot of people forget Kevin Campbell got 23 goals, Pierre got 30, but Pierre scored about 6 or 7 penalties. And in free play, Campbell got all his goals in free play, whereas Pierre got them on free kicks. He was good at free kicks, and don't get me wrong, a difficult character.
Mm. How did you go about that, considering you've managed some of the most outrageous characters in the game? You must have been just desperate to say... On your bike?
I wouldn't, I made a mistake when he went on strike and he came out and the press there came on and sort of said to me, he'd gone a couple of weeks into the season, Pierre's offering an olive branch. I said, where he can stick that? Right up his arse. And that wasn't, I shouldn't have done that really. We should have gone over to Holland and got Pierre to come back pre-season and promise him we'd sell him in the next few games,
But did he go out Anderlecht or somewhere?
Well, they all thought when he come back we could sell him to Leeds, but then the Ritzdale days were numbered then.
Yeah.
And he ended up going back to Vitesse Arnhem end of the season for £3.5 million, So we could have got £7 million if he had come back that season.
But you must have been fuming when Kevin Campbell got sold.
Yeah, absolutely. It was done behind my back. Yeah, it was done behind my back.
Did you just? How did you find out? Was it a phone call?
I spoke to Irving Scholar after I was weak. I'd got him and Scott Gemmell to sign contracts, and I phoned into the club a week later and found out that Kevin hadn't signed and was going to Trappensburg. Was it?
Went to Turkey.
Yeah, and of course Kevin found out he could get cash. What we were paying him, he could get that without tax. So it was appealed to him. But then Kevin told me after, he went in three times to sign his contract and the secretary said, oh, it's not quite ready, we've got to get this and that and the other. And that was it. And that was the problem. Irving Scholar wanted to keep Campbell, Van Hooijdonk, and didn't want to keep Campbell. So it was like interference from which I was never used to.
Craziness, isn't it? Because you've lost your leading goal scorer, second leading goal scorer, and that's caused
your top scorer to We started the season, we got no Van Hooijdonk on there, Kevin Campbell, would we? You know, and we've got
a lot of goals short, aren't you, to start the season?
Yeah, not much, you know. We started quite well, but then it was always going to be a struggle because we didn't have the money. They wanted to sell. Colin Cooper wanted to go back to Middlesbrough. I made a mistake. I listened to Ray Wilkins. He told me that you know we should have done Kwasi. We signed and Kev, he wasn't up to it. Kwasi, you hear me? Mm-hmm. And I booked Ships, who had done brilliant for me at Palace, but had an absolute nightmare at Forest, and Dougie Friedman, both done brilliant for me. I mean, we were leading 2-0 in three separate games at half time, and Dougie, in every game of those three, had a golden one-on-one to score and didn't score any, and we drew all those three games 2-2. So we all of a sudden done ourselves out. We got 3 points instead of 9 points, and that. And amazing. Rocket. And Dougie's a good finisher. You know, I'd seen him score goals much better than those, but he didn't. Ships just had a mare. He did brilliant for me at Barnsley, you know, but just didn't work at Forest. They promised me when, you know, if we got up, there'd be about 10 million to spend. It don't sound much, but it was in, when was it, 1990 or whatever it was, that was going to be where the reality was. They needed to raise 2.5 million quid because the share price hadn't gone well. They'd one of these, when football was on AIM, they were going. So, you know, so we've lost all of a sudden there, and Colin Campbell, you know, our sort of captain at the back, you know, sort of thing. So, it was one of those. But
were the players that you had to deal with different, a lot differently?
Oh, I didn't try and get in the mentality of like that. I mean, I got a tank, I brought them into a bit of and Jeff Thomas, they were good lads. You know, they got on. And
but some of them players seem more like players that you need to put an arm around rather than give him a rocket.
Yeah, Jeff Thomas is all right. You know, Tank was all right. And I'd passed that stage there because it's hard work doing what that. What I did at Wimbledon Crystal Palace is real hard work.
Yeah.
You know, you're managing on the tightrope and that, you know, and you're working at it all the time and that, you know, and the game was changing a bit more, you know. No, Forest was a different club. I was gutted, you know, I suffered because of Van Hooijdonk, really, you know.
What did he want? Did he want... just want to leave, or?
Well, he wanted what I wanted. He said our team weren't going to be good enough, and I agreed with him, you know. But for him to go on strike, you know, is completely out of order.
How did the other lads react when he came back?
Well, a few of the forum lads were okay, but, you know, Crosley, you know, Besant, Jeff Thomas, you know, Stoney, you know, Woney, they weren't really having him, you with me? You know, I think I heard a story about Crosley going in the restaurant and Pierre was in there and he's had a right go at him.
Yeah.
I think, you know, it would have been hard for a foreign player to play in my Wimbledon or Sheffield United side because they have a different culture and they would have found it very hard. I'm not saying they couldn't, you know, but perhaps some Scandinavians could have done and perhaps a few Germans, but it was, it wasn't their idea of, you know, how they wanted to play. Because the way we played when, you know, where we were strong and we went man for man, bit like Brighton do now. We went man for man, you know. You did help out on that, all that, you know. I mean, when we played Forest and, you know, well, that first season we were in up, they're talking about teams getting relegated now and Sheffield United have only got 1 point from five games. We had four after 17 games. We had 4 points. So we went into December and we were bottom of the league of four and we beat Forest 3-2 and we ended up finishing 13th in the league. Yeah. We had a great run in the end of February, March and into April. We won 7 out of 8 games.
How did you
Just kept the spirit going, kept the spirit. I mean, when we scored at Aston Villa, it was about the first goal in 9 hours, and all the fans had come on the pitch and they're all jiving, the players are jiving and all that sort of thing. We still
know us.
You know, as I say, we stayed up. And that we always did. Well, we had the one where we Frenchie decided after we'd had 2 years of, you know, having to do it from Christmas onwards, we decided to have a Christmas party at the Lane in August. And we all got dressed up in Christmas outfits, Christmas jumpers.
Because you'd always been shit up to Christmas.
That's right, yeah, shit up to Christmas. So we decided that we were going to hypnotise the players and everything. That, you know, Christmas is out of the way, we've got to start playing. And it worked for one game and then we went back to normal. But it was all dressed up Father Christmas. It was baking hot as well. We got all the curtains done.
Sweating in that beard.
And that, yeah, so we had characters who joined in, you know, yeah. In with it. You know,
somebody asked about bringing a ballet coach in at Barnsley, ballet dancer coach.
No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah.
I'm not against it, but I don't remember
Leicester?
That. Unless
Leicester was it?
No, I didn't have a ballet. We had a psychology guy came in at Sheffield United. He come with us a couple of times and things like that. We had Jocelyn, the Olympic sprinter. Jocelyn Hoyt Smith, wasn't it? She was a Sheffield girl. She was a good girl. And, you know, and she did. And she had a banter with the players. They're all there, you know, she was doing stretches and stuff with them, you know, and some movements and things. So we was always there. You know, I mean, we once, you know, we had our own sports psychologist all back in those days. You know, we used to cut our videos up and show them the opposition, you know, and make our own videos. You know, we had it at Wimbledon. You know, we had videos in 1984.
That would have been quite ahead of the time.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Way above our time, you know. We were always looked on as if we didn't know what we were doing, but we knew.
We're a bit like the Wimbledon podcast, really, aren't we?
Well, I mean, in actual fact, you know, the guy who did all my video cutting up at Wimbledon was a new Don Howe. Don Howe come down to see what we were doing, and he was coach at the Arsenal. And that, you know, we were cutting up videos of AC Milan, the way they played, and, you know, all little things and, you know, videos of our own game and everything else.
Did you enjoy your time at Barnsley?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Barnsley coming. I was looking to get back in. I mean, as it happened, that day that I'd signed for Barnsley, agreed, Sheffield United knocked on my house that night, wanted me to go there, to Sheffield United. But I said, no, I've shaken hands with John Dennis. You know, I've done that now. I can't pull out now, you know.
Yeah.
And what I should have done was when I had the chance to go to Blackburn in the November and I turned it down to stay at Barnsley, I should have gone to Blackburn. I made a mistake then.
When was that? Who'd just left Blackburn then? What are you?
Brian Kidd.
All right, yeah.
Kiddie. And Souness got it later. I should have made a mistake. The money was a lot more than Barnsley as well. My missus has never forgiven me for not doing that.
How do you look back at your time at Leicester?
You know, when I went there and, you know, the team, you know, there'd been some crap recruitment. Emil Heskey had been sold. And, you know, they'd brought in Akinboye, who, you know, a good lad, worked hard, but didn't have it, you know, really. And Benjamin, the same. They'd spent about 8 million on them too, you with me? And the side was there. Peter Taylor, who I like a lot, but his recruitment during that period was, you know, weren't very good. You know, there was some, you know, a lot
of shite.
There was some players there, and it was always, and they were bottom sort of thing. It was a good club, Leicester. I enjoyed it. Then, you know, I stepped aside to let Mickey. They wanted a young manager, really. You know, Harry Redknapp had recommended me for the job, and I got it. And they liked the idea of me bringing Mickey, but the idea was Mickey'd do it a year or so later. But Mickey got a little bit out of order and started moaning, and they wanted Mickey to be manager. So I stepped aside at the end of the season. He got him promoted the following season, but got relegated the following season.
Was that difficult personally to move, to step aside and still be part of the
club? I was upset because I could have got promotion with Mick. We'd have both got it the following season, which was there, Portsmouth and us. And then it would have been right for Mick. If Mick had been there, he could have had we could have had a long time at Leicester, I think, if we'd have got it right. I went to director of football, you know, and I mean, Mick left Leicester and he didn't have to. The board wasn't after him. They were mid-table, but he got upset because he put Dave Connolly on as a sub and then pulled him off right near the end, and the fans were saying, you don't know what you're doing. And, it, you know, Mick wasn't the skin, wasn't as thick as you thought it was.
Right, yeah.
And that he cleared off early, really.
What's that director of football role, actually, then? What do they actually do?
Well, you there's all sorts of things you can do. You know, I think the director of football is part of the board. He's there to help them with the manager and all and advise them on the football side. So the manager wants to buy this player for that. You're there to say, well, I think we can get him cheaper, or I don't think, you know, you can make points. You don't go against the manager, but you are working for the club, what you think is right, and you advise the board, and they can make the decision themselves on what you say and what the manager wants and that. And again, to be making sure that we are producing your youth players and everything else. You're like a sporting director. Yeah, they call it director of football, you know, but they don't really, nobody, a lot of the board members never know what the director of football stands for. And there's a lot of people, you know, slag it off like Harry Redknapp does, you hear me? Yeah. Although he was director of football at Portsmouth and got fucking Rixey the sack. And took over himself.
Did you ever have to personally work with a director of football, or
no?
You've always just done the role yourself.
No, but I was experienced. You come through. I knew what there. I didn't need a director of football particularly.
Oh, was that at Southampton, that under Woodward? Wouldn't it, Redknapp, Dennis Wise? I think you were with Dennis Wise, weren't
you?
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't director of football. He was, you know, brought in. I mean, Harry just used to ignore him, basically. You know,
must have been a bit awkward.
Yeah. Well, Woodward, you know, I didn't get on with Woodward. I could see through him. You know, me and him clashed, you know, a few times. And that when I become caretaker manager, I called a meeting and told him he had to come to the meeting. But he went away to Rupert Lowe, the chairman, and I said, no, and Rupert's rung me. No, you can't bring Clive in, you know. He he's elite, this and that, you know. What happened is, you know, I was convinced if Harry hadn't gone back to Portsmouth and we'd stayed there till the end of the season, Rupert would have sacked us too and he'd have given Clive the job.
It didn't end well.
No. He had Rupert's ear, and Rupert thought, you know, ex-public schoolboy, you know, this was the way forward and everything else. And Clive really didn't understand football, you know.
Mm.
You know, I'm not
saying he's never going to work really well coming from a...
No, you know, from it become apparent, you know, even with the rugby players didn't take any notice. Clive is a facilitator. He goes around and finds the best physio, the best masseur, the best doctors, you know, which is good. You know, he facilitates that rather than being, you know, the tactics and all that.
Yeah.
Who's your best ever signing, in your opinion?
Well, I've had a few, and I believe bloody, you know, Vinny at Wimbledon for 10 grand, wasn't it? You know, Winterburn, Dennis Wise, Brian Dean, you know, 30 grand, went for 3 million. You know, the
best strike partnership.
Oh, I don't know. I never thought about that. I mean, they've all been good players. Kevin Campbell, I liked, you know, good player, Kevin. I like Kevin. I like Dino, was a great fella. Tony Agana for a couple of years was electric for us. Didn't quite last the timing. You know, Corky was a great player as well. You know, underrated. You know, Corky wasn't silky, but he could score goals. He was bright. You know, he scored loads of goals for Wimbledon.
Who's the most difficult player you've had to manage?
Van Hooydonk.
Yeah.
Just because you couldn't make him happy, and that, you know. I mean, he came in after one game, and Bobby Outon, who was my assistant, you know, and he criticised us and says, you lot ain't very good at Mick Kelly at coaching. He said, you need to go over to Holland and learn how to coach. Well, Bobby had been Malmo in the European final against Forest, you with me?
Yeah.
And that, and Bobby had managed China and all this. He went fucking apoplectic, didn't he?
Who's been your favourite owner to work with?
Well, Sam was fun, but he, you know, he shit on me. He's, you know, paid me absolute peanuts.
Yeah.
You know, he was on there. He let me. Well, he trusted me. I ran the club.
Yeah.
I made him millions. He's lucky. Nosey when I worked for him, but there, Ron was all right. People thought, but Ron wouldn't pay me the dough. You know, again, he wouldn't pay me. So, you know, I nearly went to Manchester City, but ended up at Forest. You know. Irving Scholar I liked, but he was, you know, too poked his nose and wanted too much in there, and he interfered, which you know I could never forgive him for, and that.
But Elton,
who?
Elton,
lovely bloke, but John, you know, he was a nice bloke. He was too interested in looking at birds' tits and that.
Elton John.
Elton John, yeah, Elton was great. He treated
He liked it.
I mean, he treated me well, you know. I mean, I tell the story where I come home from the cup final and it was Everton and Liverpool, and, you know, I'd drawn up, my missus opened the door. I said, oh, that's funny, I've got front door key. She said, you ain't going to believe who's here. I said, what do you mean I ain't going to believe who's here? Who's here? No, I couldn't see any flash car or anything like that at all. She said, you ain't going to believe it. Then all of a sudden, Elton come leaping out of my lounge. You know, he had a fucking funny hat on and, the gear and that. And I'm fucking hell. Elton John. I said to the missus, ain't you told him we ain't got a piano?
At least you know he'd knocked me upstairs, wouldn't you?
He was good. He wanted me as manager, he saw me, and he taught me, and he insisted he wanted to know the next day. He wanted, because he was going with the team to China on Wednesday, and he wanted to do it, and I got talked into it, really. And, you know, when you've got somebody like that, I wasn't ready to deal with Elton, you with me?
Did he know anything about football, or...?
Oh, yeah, he's not stupid. I mean, he looked after me. They paid me my contract. He bought the car, it was Graham Taylor's Jag, and he bought it from the club to give to me, you know. And he then paid for me, my missus, and two kids to have Fortnite in California, Disneylands and all them, you know, for our holiday. You know, so he was a brilliant fella, really, you know. He was just distraught, you know. My missus one of his fur coats that he dropped. Only just sold it a year or so ago. It didn't go for
much. Elton John's not just on carbon.
Yeah, he's got to Chris. Sorry about them other bastards who gave you an hard time, but I love you.
Brilliant.
The one story I'll tell you, which is a bit embellished, but it's when he sacked me. You know, it was Christmas, and I knew that it was looming. And Ron Nose rang me just before Christmas and said, look, Reg Brearley's, I've recommended you to Reg Brearley at Sheffield United. His manager, Billy McKeown's gone. I've told him, he's rung me up to ask who I'd put as manager. And he said, so I suggest you go and talk to him because you're going to get the sack. It ain't if, it's just when now. You know, thanks, Ron. You know, don't beat about the bush. And Reg rung me over the Christmas period and said, look, we're not going to do anything till the new year. And I said, well, you know, it's looming anyway. So we've got out the Christmas, and I've left a few of the favourites out, and I've given people like Timmy Sherwood their debut. And you know when things don't go right for you, we're winning at Portsmouth, they get a spawny goal to make it the 2-2. Tottenham the same, they get a fucking offside goal and it's 2-2. You know, so we just didn't win the games. And then we're playing Manchester United on New Year's Eve and that, and Tony Agana has rang right. We lost 1-0. How we lost 1-0, I do not know. In the end, they were playing five at the back. Viv Anderson was chasing Tony around, and we lost 1-0. You know, you think, oh, bleed nil. Anyway, I get home, and the phone goes, it's Elton. Harry, it's Elton. He said, I'm round John Reed's house. John Reed didn't live too far from where I lived, in a big house. There was a fucking... Well, he had a little chiffon halfway up his fucking drive onto his house. Took that long. Anyway, he's jumping off. I said, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law were there. So I said, this is it, you know, for dinner, I've got to go, you know. So I've gone round there. Derek, his driver's driven up and everything else, and he's coming. Anyway, we're talking, and he said, hey, the boys were brilliant. Have a glass of champagne, Harry. You know, the things are hard and this, that, and the other. So I think, fucking hell, how's he going to do this? Anyway, we went into a lounge. It was magnificent, you know. It was like cream, you know, couches and, you know, it was lovely all round, and there was cushions everywhere. Anyway, so we're sitting down. He said, Harry, you see that cushion that's beside you? I said, yeah. He said, we're going to have a game with that. I said, oh, are we? He said, yeah, it's like a dice. He goes, come on, Harry. 1-5, you get a sack. I said, no, odds ain't very good, are they? And that, he said, no. I said, but what are you going to do if I get a 6? He said, it's obvious, Harry. You have another fucking throw. So we got pissed, and I went home at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Sacked.
Sacked. Amazing. I bought this boy Trevor Sinclair from Reddit, and who scored goals for fun. Scored goals for fun. Couldn't score a fucking goal for me at Watford. They asked me to take the team against Hull on the Saturday, and it would be after the game in the FA Cup. Anyway, we're 1-1, and it's pissing with rain and everything else. Last minute of the game, Trevor goes round the goalie, slips it in towards the goal, turns away to the crowd. Then we realised the fucking ball was stuck in a puddle on the fucking line. It ain't gone in. And I thought, well, I'll be fucked. I couldn't even win that game. And then Trevor, they didn't fancy him at Watford. They sent him to Middlesbrough, where Bruce Rielt was manager. We went up to Middlesbrough. They beat us 6-0. We beat against Sheffield United. He scored 4. I said, you wanker. I said, you couldn't score a goal to me and then you'd destroy me. So there we are, boys.
Oh, no, brilliant. Thanks a lot. Really enjoyed that.
Thank you.
The new look, John Parkin.
Crisp.
This has changed your life.
I think I'm going to go for the all-over size. Do I look slimmer in it?
You do?
Yeah.
The oversized box shoulder.
This is unbelievable. The new you, John. I just like it.
The white don't really match my teeth.
do they do an off-yellow?
Can't have it all. Nice.
Shall we just add Greg Halford on, haven't we?
Yes.
Kindly.
Very kindly.
Brought us three of his finest t-shirts.
New range. Looking good.
Who's been used to fighting over the medium?
Oh, Matty's claimed it. Medium's too big for me.
Fuck off. We always get into weight, don't we? Weight and clothes.
If you're wondering... I did that a few times in the episode. If you're wondering where we are, we are...
You can probably read it in the background.
The valley.
We're in the valleys.
We've managed to... what's the word? Blag?
I'd say blags, hustle.
Overstayers welcome.
Yeah,
by
absolutely.
A good 35 hours.
So we recorded with Sasha Illich yesterday and he pulled a favour and said, don't worry, lads, I've got, I've spoke to the sporting director, commercial director at Charlton.
We can get in a box for an hour. Yeah.
Sasha will record for a couple of hours. Oh, well, it'll be all right then. We can extend by an hour. That was yesterday at 10 a.m. We're still here.
And it's what? Half 1, 2 o'clock?
It's took, quarter to.
So we came in at 10 o'clock Tuesday morning and we're still here at 1:45 Wednesday afternoon.
We infiltrated the catering department, didn't we? Because the head of, I don't know what, operations, we'll say, he was livid that we were still here at 4 o'clock yesterday.
We went down and asked if we could use the room again today. And he's like, you said you were only going to be an hour. You've had 17 beers.
Yeah.
You've emptied the snack basket.
And it's not our responsibility, them executive loungers. But that's where I saw the opportunity.
Loophole.
Because he kind of like disarmed himself and just said, let them sort it. But she was
lovely.
She was unbelievable. So when I spoke to her, she just said, yeah.
No problem.
Just a simple,
yeah. I'll get in there in the morning, clean it up. And we're like, no, don't bother about cleaning. She went, I'll go and clean up. Just leave the keys behind reception and it's yours for as long as you want that. So it's
nice to be nice.
Name your name, but Charlton Athletic Catering Company.
Yeah, it's absolutely
thank you very much.
So like I said, we've got it in the car. I don't know how we do it because if you're booking a room, in London for recording.
£300-400 in it.
and we've rocked up at a former Premier League ground like we own the job.
Yeah. We've got the chef running the length of the stand to get 8 bottles of water. Yes, 2 seconds,
we just,
sir.
We just strolled in like Ocean's 11, didn't we?
But yeah.
Incredible. Yeah, so
been very helpful.
We dropped on again.
Thank you, Charlton.
Yeah, very much appreciated.
Not really know much about it.
Dave Bassett.
Dave Bassett, yeah.
Great memory.
Unbelievable memory.
Unbelievable memory.
At what age?
Nearly 80, is he?
I love it when you ask questions that none of us know the answer to.
And you probably know that we don't know the answer. That's the thing. Nearly 80-ish, I would say.
Between 75 and 80. Unbelievable memory.
Legend of the game, by the way.
Yeah.
Nobody who's been in football for the last 50 years who will not know Harry Bassett.
Yeah. A lot of spittle in this episode, but good and all the same.
Yeah.
So we're in the heart of Canary Wharf last night, weren't we?
Yeah.
Last two nights, in fact.
Yeah.
Do you know what? Usually we were like, we go Premier Inns, don't we? Holiday Inns. Like, budget but comfy. Mm-hmm. Comfy.
Run of the mill.
Yeah. But for some reason, they were extortionate prices in the centre of London. So we went for a change in the Britannia International. I don't know if anybody stayed in the Britannia International before.
Weird.
Weird gaff, wasn't it?
We got, what time did we get there, Matty? 11? 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
cute. And it was like a zoo in the flipping thingy. For you, wasn't it?
It were like Disney World, wasn't it? Anybody, people just walking all different
people
directions.
Just lying down on the couch.
If anybody's looking to write a sitcom, then I recommend spending a couple of hours in a Britannia International foyer. So many characters.
I think I've put my head on the block, and I think I saw 5 ladies of the night just doing laps of the room.
Really?
I'm just guessing.
Yeah,
I might be wrong.
No, we had to book I had to book my own room because he wanted ours. He had all 5 in there.
There was a stern Russian guy walking through with it, and his missus looked angry, and she had big plump lips.
We stayed in the 2 nights. We saw that exact couple in exactly the same position in exactly the same clothes at probably exactly the same time the night after. It was like flipping the Truman Show.
The angry Indian with no shoes on.
He lost credibility, though, because he was arguing about summer, and they were trying to, because the queue was that long, they were trying to move him to the side of the hotel. Yeah. And he was like, no, I'm staying here.
And he went straight to the front, didn't he?
5 seconds later, he's bottled it and gone back to his room.
I went praying for him to stub his toe. You know, because he had no shoes on.
He was that angry, he forgot to put his shoes on.
Just came down shouting at the people behind the
we
counter.
We got a room with a view, though, didn't we?
It was weird that.
Yeah.
Even just like.
So the only rooms available, no windows. But they make up for not having a window by putting you a seafront, a sea view mural all on one wall.
There was the option for a window, but it was £20 extra.
Oh, yeah. 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 True.
So what we did is we
Why would you get a window?
Exactly. I don't want to see out.
A couple of boats sailing past. If it saw a shark out of our window. Did you have a shark on your face? There's a fin.
I think somebody must have just drawn that on. But now put the wave music on. It was always going to sleep outside at the beach, wasn't it?
Small bed, though.
Oh.
Two very, very...
I would say...
I'm a fan.
Small single.
This table is wider. Can't turn over.
Fuck me, aye. Definitely.
I don't know how you got all 5 in.
Oh, thanks, everybody, for... subscribing, that we put a plea out, didn't we, for some extra subscribers?
We're only 500 off, aren't we?
Only 500 off the 100,000 now, and we said we'd give a shit away. Have we got a winner, Matthew?
Matty's doing the draw as we speak.
Simon Short.
Simon Short.
Congratulations, Simon.
Well done, Shorty.
I wonder who he supports.
So, if you get in touch on Twitter or...
Instagram.
Facebook.
What if they haven't got any of that? Comment.
Oh, comment. Yeah, but...
Yeah.
We need to get in touch, don't we? Direct.
Yeah, but I'm sure he could tell us.
Then I'll have to give everybody his email address.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just give Brownie's number. No, well,
so yeah, drop us a message on Twitter or Instagram. I think we go again.
Yeah.
100,000.
Although...
Another one?
We've had a bit of an increase in subscribers, but 20%. It's dropped again.
I think you're making this up.
What makes you say that?
Because it keeps going down. by 10, which is convenient.
No, it was 26 last time.
Was it? All right, I'll let off then.
Only 20% subscribed.
So, yeah, if you've not subscribed, subscribe.
What happens when we get to 100? Party?
I think we get Chinese. We get a trophy, like.
Do we?
Yeah.
Who gets the trophy? Do we have to fight over it? It'll look nice on my bedside table.
Do we get one each?
I don't know.
You set the channel up. You're going to get it, you bastard.
Ka-ching. Be there on my mantelpiece. Or we could do like, you know, when you get Man at Match and you have to bring it back every week when you're a kid.
Oh, when you're young foot?
Yeah.
We've seen that
month on, month off.
I don't know who the sponsor was, but somebody sponsored a game that Connor Salmon was involved in, and he got Man of the Match, and the prize was a pizza. And he stood holding a 12-inch pizza, and he looks absolutely fuming. I'm going to have to get the picture because it's... But he just stood there. Why'd I go on to that?
I don't know. The good old days have gone now with champagne, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh, Man of the Matches, man.
Yeah.
We've had bikes.
They have. They just have a little trophy now. Don't they?
Mm.
I've got some of them.
Powerade, remember the Powerade one?
I've got. Have you ever got the Powerade Player of the Month?
No, no.
I know that.
Player of the Month?
I know the answer, yeah.
What did you get for that?
The Powerade, a big plastic P. Sure I did. I've definitely got a Player of the Month, a Powerade Player of the Month or somewhere along them lines.
I'd like to see evidence of this, because I think that could be a lie.
Oh, I can fucking guarantee you.
Next episode, get a picture.
You've got form for lies.
Eh?
They don't call you Johnny Liar for nothing.
Honest John. Always we have a career known as Honest John.
We went to Andrew Lonergan's party and he got greeted as Johnny Liar.
What else has been happening?
Nothing. Quiet times, Chris.
Had a nice holiday.
Keeping our head down.
Oh, it was your holiday, yeah.
By the way, the pool weren't a problem.
Was it not?
No. We got there, we went to a pool first day, then second day we went to the beach. The beach was absolutely beautiful. Waves were probably a bit too high for kids to be in, but they enjoyed it.
Put them in anyway.
Kick them in. Get in there and risk your lives.
Jump in them waves.
Well, there were actually lifeguards
on the beach,
yeah. So that's how it could get a bit lively. So we went to the beach every day.
What's your bathing schedule? Because I'll tell you mine before. I go 30 on my front, 30 on my back, pool, and then repeat.
No.
Pool to cool down.
No, I'm not. I just lie down.
If I'll have my back.
Two-tone? You're going to be white on your back?
You're thinking of it like this?
Just go
on my holidays.
You want it even tan, though?
No, I'm not. I don't put any moisturiser on at all, neither after sun or that.
Sun.
No.
Cream?
Fuck that.
Do you put sun cream on, though?
Oh, yeah, but I'm on about, like, you know, to keep your tan and that.
No.
Well, you're guaranteed, as soon as you get on the plane, start flipping, peeling.
Mm.
We had a bet between us, didn't we, with a weight. I don't even think we need to explain, but you've been on holiday. And I haven't been on holiday, so I've lost the most weight. Yours was heavy. I know
Scotland,
it was.
But every day was. Oh God!
It's your cheeks every time.
Like a little chipmunk coming in this morning.
Any other business? What's your bathing technique? Do you have one?
I don't think Matt is a bather.
I think he's too much energy.
I don't think many people do have this rotisserie.
Set your time on your phone half an hour. Then you know.
Oh, have a Solero, shut the fuck up.
Solero!
Right.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
Keep your eye out for these belters.
And subscribe.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.